The title to today is, Do You Live a Life of Truth? And what that means is basically, do you live a life where you think exactly like God thinks? So that'll be where we're going with today. And let's ask for God's presence and help. Thank you, Lord, that you care about each one of us, that you want to teach us to walk with you in the way that you want us to. But for us to be accurate in that walk, we have to at least change some of our worldly thinking into thinking just like you. In fact, we need to change it all. And teach us how to do that. Teach us how to think like you think. And have your will. Fill me with your spirit for this message and have your will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we'll start with this two verses from David. It's a prayer out of Psalm 25. Verses 4 and 5, and it goes like this. This is from NIV Bible. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. So we see in Psalms 25 that David tried hard to learn truth, this word truth. He started his prayer with, show me your ways, O Lord. And then he goes to teach me your paths. And then in verse 5, here comes that word, guide me in your truth and teach me. So he used four different ways of really asking the same thing. It's David used a lot of poetry writing in his writings in Psalms. So you see that that's a poetic technique of saying four different things, meaning one main thing. Show me how to think like you think, God. David wanted to know the ways of God. He wanted God to teach him how he wanted to do things. He wanted to learn the mind of God. He wanted to be a man after God's own heart to accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish. And so when we look at that word truth, what does it mean? What does the word truth actually mean? It means we want to remove from our thinking anything that is not God's ways of thinking. And we want to replace that with the way God thinks about that particular circumstance. Look at what Stephen said about David in Acts 13. This is out of the New King James Bible, but it reads like this. And when he had removed, so this is Stephen talking, and when he removed him, speaking of King Saul, he raised up for them meaning the people, David as king, to whom also he, speaking of God, gave testimony. And God said this about David, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. And so when we learn truth, or we can say it like this, when we learn the ways of God or how God wants us to think, once we know that, we get better at handling everything that we have come up in our life. You should get so good at thinking like God thinks that you can almost predict what exactly he wants you to do. It's kind of one of those spouse things, you know, those of you that are married, you know. You should get so good at reading your spouse that you could almost say, stop, let me say it like what you're thinking right now. See, if you can do that for someone on this earth, you can learn to do that like God wants you to do that. See, we don't live a life of being a Christian where we're trying to do what we think needs to be done. We learn to think like God thinks, and you could about predict the way you're gonna supposed to handle every single thing. I mean, it really, you'll see it in this message as we get to it. But keep this in mind. Thinking creates feelings, and feelings lead to actions. And where do counselors, if a counselor counseled you to help change something in your life, they're going to focus on your thinking. It's the first thing they're going to do. And I believe God works the same way. He's going to focus on changing your thinking and getting it more and more accurate. And anything that he sees in you goes, that little attitude right there is not of me. That's not how I think. You need to get rid of that. And whatever it is, God's going to start pointing those things out if you listen. If you don't listen, then guess what gets to happen to you? You get to make messes and then get put in your place at some point, either by God or someone else. So you either learn it or you're going to have problems to where God will expose it and bring it to the surface. So ask yourself this morning these questions. How much of the world's way of thinking is still in my thinking? So I asked in Sunday school class this morning, what's the percentage of you that changed your personality? How much changed at salvation? And I told them for me it was about 60%, and some others said about the same thing. And the rest of the change in your life happens through a process where when God's ready, he'll start pointing out other things. Now, aren't you glad he doesn't do it all at once? You'd be so overwhelmed, you'd go, I'll never get right. And but, you know, he seems to have a lot of mercy and grace on those other areas until we get where we need to be. So ask yourself how much of the world is in your thinking. And I'll give you the perfect example that I used in Sunday school today. But I told the people, you know, I grew up in the way you know, if you feel like you got ripped off by a store, what you went into the store and you threw a major fit. And if you did that, they'd give in to you and give you what was right from the beginning. And I actually had that as part of my way of thinking, and I actually did that, and I'm supposed to be a Christian one day. And I kind of went off on Sears a little bit, and I was totally out of line, I think, back at those years. But that's worldly thinking. And anything else in your personality, I'm going to show them my authority by keeping them guessing every once in a while with a little comment here and there. And then they're a little scared of me, you know, and it's an authority method. And it's a lot of pride is what that is, and ego, and you need to get over that. So a lot of that worldly thinking is in you, and you don't even know it's in you. And little by little, God should begin to show you, that is not how I do things. That is not how I treat somebody else. And you're not going to use those methods. That's that transition of change will happen in your thinking. So God removes, okay, that one's got to go. Not of me. Then he inserts in there a new way of thinking. And little by little, you should get better and better and better at knowing how God thinks and how he wants you to think about any particular situation. So, do I really know how God thinks so I can think like him? Do I have a heart like David, a heart after God's own heart? All right, let's go to a little bit of an introduction here on page 2. But what God means by truth, truth is the way God thinks or views something. And more importantly, it's the way God wants us to think and to view things. And I'll give you another example. If you get irritated at someone, you have a choice. And your choice is to show that in your body language so everybody knows who you're mad at. And you can read it all over you. Now, if you think that's from God, then you better guess again. That's worldly, and that needs to go. So that would be another example. God will show you, and this is the way I do it. I get irritated at people, but I'm not going to treat them any different than I ever treated them before for many different reasons. One, because I don't believe God wants me to do that. And number two, it prevents us from getting this corrected. I'm now standing in the way. You understand what I'm saying? All this is important. Thinking like God wants you to think is so vital to everything that you do. So today what I'm going to do with you is we're going to look at mainly two parts. So I've divided this up into two different sections. I'm going to give you some Bible verses about truth, mostly things that Jesus said. And then I'm going to give you 10 examples of how a person of truth should think. Now, I'm telling you, there is many more than these 10. And this sermon could have probably gone on for 10 weeks with things. But we're just going to get the point across today and leave you and God to work out the rest of that learning time. But let's look at some Bible verses about truth. John 1:14. The Word, and the Word means Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So right away, John lets us know that Jesus came full of God's power. That's the version of grace here. Wasn't for sin, for himself. So he came full of grace, and we could include his full of grace for other people, but full of God's power and full of truth. He was the Word made alive. If people never understood the Word of God before and how it related to us, Jesus was that example. So we got to see the Word come alive. And fortunately, many different people wrote it down. Oh my goodness, what would have happened had they not wrote it down? Then we wouldn't have all that. So that's the first part. John 14:6 reads like this. Jesus answered, I am the way and the what? The truth. Yeah. And the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus was saying, I'm the way to heaven. But he was also saying, I have truth within me. And everything you're going to see me do, everything you're going to hear me say is truth. In other words, I'm showing you how God wants you to think and act yourself. That's what he was really saying. John 7:18. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. And so just look at those words. Well, this would be fun for Sunday school right there. We'll eventually get to that because Sunday school is going to go to the Gospel of John later on. And we'll eventually come across that verse anyway. But those who work for the honor of themselves are going to be the ones going around just blabbering opinions, everything else. They work for the honor of themselves. But those who want to work for the honor of God, they want to please God. They're more careful with the things they say. And they actually get better at hearing, getting insights from God, and then saying those things. There's nothing false that will come out of the person whose number one goal is to honor God. It's going to be God stuff that's going to come from them. You're going to see it in the way they hug people, the way they talk to people, their interest in people. You're going to see it in the things that they say. You're going to hear it through that way. There's nothing false about that person. You could tell it's real. So we have a choice. We have a choice, and our choice is, are we going to be a person who's got... worldly thinking, or is our main focus going to be, wonder what the Father thinks about that? Wonder what how the Father wants me to look at this person. And it will change you. The people I've gotten really irritated at in life, and we all are going to have a few of them, they're tough because it's real hard for me to want to do the right thing right now. I want to get a little fleshly, and it doesn't help anything. So if my true heart is I just want to honor God, then I can't change my view of that person. Why? Because God loves them. God knows how they are. God loves them. So when I don't love them, I'm doing contrary to the ways of God. I'm not thinking like God's thinking. I have to continue to treat them right. I could tell you so many illustrations, and I'm not going to. Because it'll bring back exactly, Jerry and B will know exactly who I'm talking about, with people that I've done the right thing for, and all they did was stab me in the back. And I still continued to do the right thing for those people. And I will always do the right thing because that's the way God, they're representative of God, whether they're good to me or not. And so that's the way I believe God wants me to look at it. Now, let's look at two Gospels. Look at Matthew and John, and I didn't do all four. I just want to give you these two. How many times Jesus was quoted in Matthew and John at using this phrase, "I tell you the truth"? So in Matthew, in the NIV Bible, Jesus is quoted 11 times saying, "I tell you the truth." And then in the book of John, and I still tell you, John's my favorite gospel, and it's because he just got into the mind of Jesus. I mean, he just knew how Jesus thought, I think, better than almost anybody. Jesus is quoted in the book of John 28 times saying, "I tell you the truth." And so most of those cases, if you look at each of those verses, you'll see that they were occasions where Jesus was talking about the world, something going on or whatever, or the way people thought, and he would mention that, and then he would say this, "But I tell you the truth." And so what he was about to tell you is, this is the way the world thinks, and then he says, "But I want to tell you how I and God, because we're the same, think." That's what he meant by "I tell you the truth." This is how you're supposed to think, not like that. So that's what he did a lot of. Now look at John 3:21. But whoever lives by the truth, the way God thinks, comes into the light. So when you live like, you know, you're thinking, you've changed your thinking, you let God start removing some of these things that were wrong in your thinking, and it begins to allow him to think and look at things differently. How I changed my view toward people, I'll just tell you, God showed me this. I love them, whether they were mean to you or not. I love them whether you liked what they did or not. Now you best treat them like I treat them. And that one got through to me. And that's why I don't change my approach at all. My approach is the same because I'm going to love them whether I like certain things that they did or didn't do. I love them. I truly do. So whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. So God's saying this. Jesus was saying this to the people. He was saying, look, if you will live your life thinking like me, like I'm teaching you, like God wants you to think, I'm going to give you more light. Whoa. I'm going to show you more spiritual insights if you'll learn to do that. Because I'm going to see what you're doing and I'm going to honor you with more insights. So they come into the light. That's what happens. Now look at the rest of that verse. So that it may be seen plainly. In other words, people can tell that what he, that person who lives by truth, that what he has done has been through God. People should be able to tell that. The things you did, the ways you handled something, the things you said, they should be able to tell. That's from God. I can feel it. When you love people, the atmosphere that we have here most every Sunday is just an incredible atmosphere. Our people love people. I think it's genuine. I really think it's genuine. But what do you love about our people? You love seeing what? God come through. Now, what do you dislike about someone is when you see them come through. So which one do you want to see would be the big question. Do you want to see them come through or do you want to see God come through? All right, let's go on. So whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. So this is like a promise. Do you see that promise? If you will try your best to convert your thinking into God's thinking called truth, then he promises he's going to give you more light in your life. All right, so if you want more light, there you go. There you go. Live by the truth. Change your thinking. Let God help you. I think it's hard to change. Until God kind of really emphasizes a point with you and shows you something, it's kind of hard to change. I mean, you can say something. Okay, let's say I can't even think of a good example here, but let's say I did this. Let's say I saw something in your personality that is not of God and it worried me. And so I said to, something to you, you need to be careful with that. You need to consider doing it this way. All right? Now, if I said that to someone who's always done what they did throughout their whole life, what is the chances, because I said it one time, they're going to change? I'd say probably a 5% chance, unless there's a grace of God on my words that were powerful. And it really got them cut to the heart, as the Bible uses that phrase. Sometimes it takes us time to keep fighting it until we broke through. And then we have the insight we need, and it changes that part of our thinking. It lines it up with God's thinking is what it does. So are you one of those that tries hard to learn how God wants you to think on everything? Or do you find yourself sitting around coming up with all your fleshly insights about things you like or don't like? Have you learned to take your previous negative thinking about people and circumstances and put them aside and let God give you His insight? Are you capable of separating those two things? Growing up in God involves learning to think differently, and it involves quit blaming people and then start seeing things from God's perspective. And I think you have to do that. You know, there are things that happen. I love what you told me, Teresa, before service today. I mean, they changed her job and a situation. Now she's got to work night shift, and she don't want to work night shift. Who wants to work night? Well, some people do. When I was a cop, I actually liked it. As long as I was home in bed before the sun rose, that was my goal. And then some nights I'd get a felony arrest, and then they made me hold over past my shift to arraign them in the county in the next morning. But I didn't mind nights too much, but it's hard. Like, you're going to have the most difficult time, like Saturday and Sunday. Should you try to switch your body back to day shift, or should you? I'll tell you what I did as a cop. I just stayed up all night long on my days off. It's the craziest thing. I changed oil in my driveway at 3 a.m. And, you know, because I wasn't going to switch. You know, I thought that's too hard on me. And but I love your attitude, Teresa. She's like, I don't like this. And you might throw a cup around or something in the process. But then you come back to, I'm going to trust God that He knows what He's doing. That's perfect. That's perfect way to think of that. All right. So let's go to these religious leaders that Jesus encountered one day. And you can really see the difference in those leaders and what Jesus saw in them, and a leader that truly wants to honor God in everything they do. They want to please God. So look at how Jesus says this in John 8:44. You belong, He's telling these leaders this, you belong to your father, the devil. Whoa. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and he's the father of lies. Now, Jesus just spoke to religious leaders to point out to them that if you choose to live by your own thinking and you do things for God that you think you need to do for God, you're probably going to be thinking just like the devil. That's pretty much what he was saying. So we have a choice in life. We are the ones that make that decision. Do I want to think and act like I want to think and act? Or do I want to be honest with myself? Now, here's what I do. I didn't like that. Or, God, I don't like the circumstance you put me in right now. Whatever it is. I don't like this. Don't lie to yourself. Be honest with yourself. I don't like this. However, I'm going to think like you and I'm going to act like you. And I'm going to do the right thing. And I'm not going to let any body language on me show. Because people can read body language. If you've had trouble with that, you need to get past that. Have God help you. Say, God, I need some extra help on the body language part. So we have that choice. All right, go to John 16:13. However, when he... the Spirit of truth. Now, Jesus was telling us about the Holy Spirit that's going to come. He calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. When He's come, He's going to guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So whatever he hears, he will speak. Now I want to just tell you one of my goals, and I am not there, but I'm getting closer. It's just taking too long, probably, in God's eyes, maybe. I want to get so good that every time I encounter something, I'm capable of stopping my flesh and trying to get an insight from God. Now that's not easy, especially if you got irritated with what happened. That's really difficult. But that's my goal. I want to get so in tune that I can put my flesh aside. Put that aside. That needs to go aside. Okay, let's be reasonable. How does God want me to see this? How does God want me to act? I want to get good at that. That's one of my goals. I hope if I'm still here 10 more years, I am a model of that. That I get that good at it. So I hope that would be your goal too. The Holy Spirit would not speak, Jesus said, on his own authority. So here's my question to you. Why do you think that you can speak on your own authority? Why do you think that you can have this attitude? Why do you think that you can say these things when the Holy Spirit's not allowed to? Why do you think you're any better? Shouldn't we line up with that same thing? And I think it just needs to be the goal for us. The things that we say have to be guided by God. And I want to get better at it. And I hope everybody here feels the same about yourself. So what's the main source that the Holy Spirit uses to help you think like God? It's the what? The Word of God. The Bible says in Ephesians, he calls the word the sword of the Spirit. And it says, which is the Word of God. So the tool, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come to guide you in all truth, help you think like God. Your main tool is going to be reading the Word. And if you're not reading the Word, it's going to be a long process before you are able to make that change. And if you're not reading the Word with trying to be open to what you're reading instead of always thinking about somebody else, then you're not going to grow in truth. To best learn truth and how God thinks, I think when I go back to those two sermons God gave me in January on the importance of reading the Word, and then I talked about journaling, I just really think we need to get a hold of that. We need to write down some things. Now, I wrote down, I started mine. Most of my notes are in my Bible. On the Bible notes and things are in my phone apps. And but I do have now official journal. I hate doing that. It's not me, but I made myself do it. And I started writing down some prayer requests and what date I wrote those down. And then I like to write down what I feel like God is saying to me right now. Mike, you need to do better in this. And God's been talking to me about several things over the last, say, 3 months in particular. Every time I encounter a certain situation, he'll point out to me, see, I've been telling you that this such and such. And you got to get a hold of that. I mean, if you don't write it down, if you don't make it part of who you are, you're going to forget about it because Satan wants you to forget about it. He doesn't want you to learn this stuff. So let's go on. John 17, we'll just use 17. Jesus' final prayer. I love that prayer. And this is just before he went to the cross. And fortunately, John wrote this stuff down. At some point in time, he wrote down what Jesus said. But Jesus prayed, sanctify them. Now he's talking about his followers, by your truth. And then he says, your word is truth. Now, did he need to tell the Father that? Did the Father already know his word is truth? So who did he say that for? For the benefit of his disciples that heard it. That's the only reason it was said. Your word is truth. And so it should start changing you to where you get so good that you line up your thinking with God's thinking, and there's less of you coming out. In Exodus, look at what Moses' father-in-law said. God gave him this insight, this truth on the way he wanted Moses to live. And maybe my guess is Moses was so busy he wasn't even hearing God about this idea. Have you ever been so busy you're not hearing God? That's easy to do. That is really easy to do. Get that busy doing things that you can't hear. So I'm assuming Moses was so busy, so his father-in-law gets this truth insight. And here's what he says to Moses in Exodus 18, verses 17 to 22. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, Moses, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear them yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself." Now, let me give you a fast background. Moses is the leader. He's trying to teach the people like a preacher. But he's also spending hours and hours and hours judging cases. People were standing in line for hours waiting to bring an issue to Moses. So hence the father-in-law, you're wearing yourself out and you're wearing them out. So that's where we're going with this. Verse 19, "Listen now to my voice," the father-in-law says. "I will give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God." Now, what the father-in-law was saying is, keep in mind what your main job is. Your main job is to bring difficulties to God in prayer on behalf of your people. That's your number one job. Now go on. "And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and work and the work they must do." So you're to be the main teacher to your people. "Moreover," verse 21, "you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth." So Moses was to select people who also, their mindset was just wanting to think like God thinks. And those people are to hate covetousness, a hard thing to say for me, "and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." Let's apply it to army and police. You're to have captains and lieutenants and sergeants and corporals. Basically, that's what the father-in-law said. "And let them judge the people at all times." At all times. Now, Moses did these judging days like ever so often. He didn't even do it on a regular basis. So the father-in-law is saying, let them do it like on a daily basis. And then the load will be less. "Then it will be that every great matter." Now, if there's something that's really big, "they'll bring it to you. So it'll be easier for you. And they will bear the burden." The main leader's job of any place, any job, is to be that overseer. And if that person is so bogged down, now Bill Ice does a little of everything. If his guys need help, he jumps in there. But that's fine. But he also knows he can't be doing the stuccoal and overseeing what's going on with the hospital up in Lebanon. Is it built yet? Or that new addition? You're still working on that? And he can't do that. He's going to have to have overseers, guys that help him, that lead teams and stuff like that. Otherwise, he's never going to get it done. The leader has got to free themselves up. Like in the situation of a church, the pastor's number one focus should be finding the will of God, looking, kind of thinking about the people in the church. Who needs help? Who needs to grow here? Go there. And he's praying. He's bringing those issues to God. And then he's teaching, teaching, teaching. I'll tell you one of the things God told me 3 months ago. You are not teaching enough. He told me, he said, you think your main job is to teach in the pulpit. Your job is to teach every encounter you see in the church. And I need you to start doing that. Now, that's one of the things I felt strong that God told me. Teach. That needs to be in your mind. Every little thing that seems out of line or whatever, you need to teach. You need to correct. And so that's the main job of a pastor. Teach, preach, bring major issues to God. It is not to do all the little piddly stuff that somebody else doesn't want to do. And as we grow, I need a father-in-law to step in and say, no, we're not going to keep dumping this stuff on him. Now, right now, we're a little bit small, so I can do a little of that junk. But that's not my main job, just like it wasn't for Moses. And Moses was to find people of truth. His father-in-law said, don't just throw anybody in these positions. They need to be people that think like God thinks, so when they make their judgments, as they judge situations, then they're going to have a right judgment. That's what he was saying. All right, now here's some good examples of how men and women of truth should be thinking. Number one, God is smarter than me. I hope you think like this. I feel sorry for you if you do not think like this. God is smarter than me, no matter how talented or smart I think I am. You don't believe that? Look it up in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And God will remind you that he's smarter than you and he knows the future better than you know the future. He knows what you need to do. He knows what decisions that you need to make. He knows how this decision will also affect this decision. This handling of this matter will also affect this handling of this matter. He knows it all. He knows all the connections and you don't. Therefore, it's very important, this is what you should be telling yourself, for me to always want to find out what he's thinking. Now, be careful of this thought. But everything about this one decision just looks right. Why do I need to check with God? Whoa. You better still check with him. Hey, I'm just checking with you. This looks right. Is that okay? Yeah, cool. All right, good to go. Let's proceed. And that kind of thing. So there needs to be at least a little bit of fear. Do you have at least a little bit of fear in you of making the wrong decision and negatively affecting something else? If you don't have that in you, you need to get that in you. It's a proper fear. It's not a wrong fear. It's a proper fear. I don't want to disappoint you, God. So I want to make sure we do this right. I want to make sure that this is done your way. All right, number two. Here's another way that people that understand the ways of God should operate. Whatever I do, by God's guidance, I know it will be the most effective thing I could possibly do. Do you believe that? Whatever you do needs to be guided by God. It's going to be the most positive effect. John 6:63. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's God who will give life. Life meaning lasts forever. Whatever you do in the flesh counts for nothing. So do you understand that? And so let me make this. This just really came to me this week. I want to make an important point here. Consistency is the key. Now, I'm going to give you an example that I feel like God showed me about me. At one point in time, I was doing everything with the music here. Boy, am I thankful we have Lee Connor and Lee Williams and Annette and B. It was almost me and B. That's pretty much it. I led the singing and I ain't that great of a singer. Bless Dana's heart. She thinks I sing good enough, but anyway, thank you, Dana. But I wasn't that good. All right. But I picked the songs out every week. I did not, when Lee Connor took over with music, I did not go to Lee and say, here's how you do it, Lee. He already knew. He could tell how to do it. And the method he uses is the same exact method I used back then. And it would be on those Sundays, you could just feel God's presence. So now stay with me on this point. When I select sermons. I don't select sermons based on, I think our congregation needs this, so I'm going to let them have it next Sunday. Now, my job is to find out, God, what do you want me to do? And so it's a you have to kind of feel your way through. I mean, sometimes I'll get an idea, and it's not of God, it's of me. And I have to play with it enough to know, okay, is that of God? Is that not of God? All right, now stay with me on this. Sunday school series. Should we do an entire book? Should we do Blackaby's material? What should we do? I spent a ton of time this week preparing 7 lessons for the Sunday school class. And I've got the others at least outlined now to where they're easy. It'll require less time next week to work on that. But I felt out until I could tell that God wanted me to do it this way. Now, listen to this point. I've had success with this approach. So here's what Satan wants me to do. He wants me to think I'm really good at hearing God. Everything that enters my mind is from God. I'll just tell him this because I know that's from God. And you let that overconfidence go to your head, and the next thing you do, you were thinking not like God and acting not like God. And here's where you broke it down. You didn't use the same thing you learned with music or preaching or teaching or whatever it is. Witnessing. It could be witnessing. You probably know. You've heard us talk a lot about witnessing and how to do it and how to be led of God. So let's say you're really good at that. All 4 of those things. You don't use those same techniques at home with your spouse. And you say hateful things. You are not thinking like God wants you to think. You don't use those same techniques in a board meeting. It's the same techniques there. You don't use those same techniques at work with your boss when you're ticked at your boss. What I'm telling you, it is the consistency of hearing the Spirit everywhere you go, everything you encounter, that's going to move God through your life. It has to be consistent. Because you're good in one area does not mean you're good in another. And you'll have to learn to apply those same, it's the same method. Is this what God wants, or is this what I think He wants? Do you ever have trouble knowing the difference? I do. So if you don't, come to me afterwards and tell me how you do that. Because every once in a while, it's hard to know the difference. You have to be careful. You have to use the same method on those other things in finding God's will. Is this God's will? Feeling it out? Things like that. I can guarantee you this. For me, a huge thing I look for when I'm not sure on, let's say, a big purchase kind of thing, I'll go by peace. Now, right now, Tuesday, we'll be in Camdenton at my mobile home putting an alarm system in there and cameras. And I've lost my renter from the last, I don't know how many years it's been, long time. They were great renters. I do not want to rent that house again. And so I've been trying to feel out, does God want me to rent it again or not? Well, I can tell you what I want. I don't ever want to rent to anyone again. And I've had enough of that life, but I'll do whatever God wants. Does He want us to live in it? So I'll go up Tuesday and with Lori, and we'll kind of feel out, you know, does it feel like something we should move down here on a piece of land, or should we put it up for sale? And I'll try to sense what God's saying, but I'm going putting cameras in it because I'm not having squatters living in my house and I can't get rid of them. So you're going to have to break in and set off the alarm, and I'll have the cops come into the house. That's decisions that you have to make. You have to kind of feel those things out, and you go by peace. You have to go by peace. What is there peace in this? And if you ever feel rushed, well, we have to decide this right now. I can almost guarantee you that it is not of God. That is not how He works 99% of the time. I'm not saying always, but 99% of the time, it is not rushed. It has to be a peace and you feel it out. Now, number four, if I'm sure, this is another way you need to think. If I'm sure, if I'm unsure whether God, something is of God, I will slow down and sometimes even stop what I was about to do just to make sure it was of God. Now, I think what you do with that is you're honoring God, and he'll see that. He'll say, I see what you're doing. You're trying to be sure. Thank you for that, and I'll honor and I'll bless you for that. Number five, the timing of God is just as important as finding out what God wants me to do. That is the way God wants you to think. Does God use timing? Absolutely. Think in your own life of timing. I've been in jobs I hated. Has anybody ever been in a job you hated? Hated this job. And I could not get peace to leave. And I'm thinking of every alternative in the world. Try to get out of here. Besides just quitting with no other job. You have to stay. You just got to trust that's God. I care about God. It's saying about me. I care about God. So I'm going to stay in that position until he shows me differently. That's understanding that the timing of God is just as important as finding out the will of God. Number six. This is another thing that should be in you as you understand how God thinks. I know, you should say this to yourself, I know that when I'm angry about something or angry at someone, I will have a hard time hearing God accurately. Please tell me you know that. If you do not know that, then you're being deceived. Because I'm telling you, if you stay angry, it is a sin. Sin brings darkness. Darkness means you can't see God's will. You can't hear God's will as well. And if you continue that path, you'll eventually lose the ability to hear entirely until you straighten it out and do what God tells you to do. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, wrath is a pretty extreme word. And so I think what that Bible verse is saying is most of the real anger you're going to have to get rid of in about 24 hours. Now, if there's a little bit left, you better be careful with your attitudes because you are vulnerable to do stupid stuff right now. You might know what I'm talking about. Oh, that's not me. Well, then you need to get over your pride. And because it is you, it is everybody. I mean, we just have to look at that stuff and go, okay, I'm still processing this, still not happy about that. But, hey, I'm not going to let that affect me. And you got to be really careful. But God will see that and it'll bless you. He can see you're trying to think like me. You're trying to be sure, and that's good. I'm going to bless you for that. He'll notice those things. And I'll just tell you this with anger. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Go on down to page 9, middle of the next page, where it says, look at all the things that can be caught up with anger. Everything affects everything. So if a person has, let's say, a problem with anger, I guarantee you there are other issues besides anger. So you want to get over anger, there's other issues that you need to also deal with because they're all connected. Like most anger will be a big part of pride. Most anger will be something to do with judging. You have concluded that they're 100% wrong, you're 100% right, and now they deserve to be condemned. Or whatever. I mean, so a lot of it has to do with judging. And then some of it can be past hurts. I mean, it's very possible. If you had something in the past you've experienced and then someone else does something that irritates you and it's very similar to what you experienced, boy, that one can really light you up. But you can ask God. You can ask God, God help me to get past that past experience so this doesn't happen to me. Every anger situation should cause you to be fair. Okay, I didn't like that. I don't like it when people do that. However, is there anything, God, you want to teach me? I told God several times in the last few months, please get me so good at dealing with anger, things I don't like, that it hardly bothers me anymore. Now, I hope that doesn't mean a whole lot more events. But I have prayed that. Honestly, I have. Get me to where just I can roll with it. It rolls right off me because I'm not there yet. Get me to that point. Get me to the point that when I get angry, I'm able to shove it out of the way and then do the right thing. So that's another one of my goals. Everything affects everything. Truth is God's way of seeing all issues that are involved. And with anger, there's a lot of other things that you may have to deal with in order to conquer that. Let's go to number 7. Constantly be evaluating your own life. So living like God wants you to live will really be thinking like David thinks. Look at Psalm 139, 23, and 24. I have it in your notes. Search me, O God. Now you can see just the real openness of David here. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Well, he already knows your heart. But at least you're admitting you wanting to. All right? Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Now, anxious thoughts are that part of us that maybe we're full of irritation. And so you may have to calm some of that stuff down because you're going to lose your peace. That's part of what we discussed in Sunday school today. You know, it can be connected with your peace. So know my anxious thoughts. Verse 24, see if there's anything offensive in me, any offensive way, and then lead me in the way everlasting. So he was saying, you know, hey, look at me, you know, see if I'm causing any of this stuff going on, or is there 5%, maybe a tiny bit I can learn from this. All right, number 8. The ways of God should cause us to think like this. The word of God must be my guide on all my attitudes and all my decision making. The word of God is truth. It's the ways of God. And if I'm violated in any way in my thinking or actions, then I need to correct that. You want to know the ways of God? Read the word. Number 9. I hate no one. I can tell you that for a fact right now. I hate no one. I had some people do some nasty things to me. Anybody have people do nasty things to you? Anybody have anyone try to actually destroy you? Anybody been down that stupid road? I don't hate anybody. You know why? Because if I do, I know I'm in trouble with God. And it can affect heaven, people. There's a lot of scriptures about that. I dislike what they did. Be honest with yourself. Don't act like yourself. I dislike what they did. I lost some respect for them. Okay, that's just being honest with yourself. However, I'm not going to hate anyone. All right? All Christians need to view things like that. All right, let's go on over and let's wrap this thing up with number 10. Go over to page 12. Evaluate every attitude you have and every decision you make. And I've said this before, but I'm telling you, it has to be the way you evaluate yourself. Is my thinking right now? Is my attitude right now of humility or of pride? And if you've been lying to yourself, that right there will nail you. Is that attitude a humble attitude? Is that a prideful attitude? And that will help you know exactly the right way that you need to look at this. Okay, so today we looked at 10 truths, 10 ways of trying to think like God thinks. There's so much more that we could have done, but we got the point across. God wants our thinking to be like his thinking. He wants us to view things like he views things. He wants us to handle things like he handles things. We need to get so good at it that we could almost guess whether this is from God or not. And you should get so good with your spouse that you could almost guess that she's about to slap you upside the head. That's the way you need to get with God. You know how he wants you to think. You quit denying this stuff and you say, okay, fine. But I don't want to be mad. Okay, fine. Here it is. Fine. You take it. It's the wrong attitude. I want to be like you. I want to think like you. I want to see people like you see people. All right, let's stand.